Yes, that's right. Summer of Stein season finale streaming live. Yes. Yes. Oh,
We're back, baby.
We're back, Eric. And here we are. We are back on YouTube, back streaming here today for one last time in the Summer of Stein. Eric, how are you?
Well, they said I have a face for podcasting, and it's back.
Yes.
It's back. I'm feeling good. I'm excited to be live. There is just so much garbage for us to make fun of, and I'm thrilled, and I'm feeling really positive about it. I'm feeding the positive. I'm going to stay crushing it. I'm feeling this big video energy. You know, I was recently at the live show just 1 week ago, and every single person who approached me said, basically, You guys suck. Why don't you do it every week? Why don't you do it on video anymore? Yeah. Are you not putting in any effort? So first Oofy Award of the afternoon here goes to us. Oofs for apparently phoning it in this summer.
Phoning it in. What are you going to do? All right. Well, sorry about that, everybody. We talked about last week the most complained about podcast on the internet, Summer of Stein. But we are back once again. And here we are, Eric, on the Friday before the finale of Big Brother 21. Where did the summer go?
It's the most oofiest time of oof the year. Yeah, this flew by. It feels like it was, just days ago that everyone hated the entire cast and the camp comeback debacle. And here we are, and it's over. Mm-hmm. It's over. It's starting to get cool here in New York.
Yes, which I know that you famously also do not care for the fall.
No,
overrated.
Or the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't want to set me off. I don't like a persimmon. I hate pumpkin spice. I don't understand the concept of crisp air. That's just air. We need air to breathe. It's the same quality air as it was in the summer and as it will be in the winter. I don't like scenic drives. Not much of a fan of foliage. I just don't get the appeal. There are people, it's still 85 degrees outside, walking around in sweaters and Uggs and scarves, and they've turned my Pop-Tarts into pumpkin spice. I mean, come on, guys. This is my main complaint. If everyone loved it so much, why not do it all the time? Why
Great
are we
point.
Saving it just for now? There are plenty of flavors and experiences we do all year.
Yeah. Well, look, people like to have something to do, Eric. And so the fall gives people an opportunity. Oh, I have to have this drink at this time, have this at this time. So people just want to have like a schedule.
I have a household rule, and this is a hard and fast. I had never seen Titanic, but I watched it with my girlfriend.
Oh.
I had never seen Harry Potter. I watched it with my girlfriend. I will not ever go apple picking.
Okay.
Never.
Never.
It's not happening. I don't care how many kids I have. I don't care what circumstances. Someone say, no, you're going to find a time. You're going to go apple picking. No, that is just grocery shopping outdoors for $50 for just one item, and you end up with way too many of them.
Way too many. What?
You're not an activity.
Hey, once upon a time that your friend and mine, Paulie Calafiore, was charged with making apple pies. Oh, it's a baby Dino the dog sighting.
Yes, he heard that we're back on camera. He had to say, here, come here, buddy. Oh, no, now he's not into it. He's playing, right. Pretending to be shy.
You're
now.
Here.
Yeah,
you're
yeah. Paulie's been known to make apple pies back in his time, but you know, it's all good. All
okay.
Good. I'm excited. There has been a lot of disaster going on in this game.
Yes.
I gotta bake pies for the rest of the summer whenever I hear Zingbot's anthem.
Okay. Eric, we have a lot to do today because we're gonna talk about the end game here as we saw Cliff put out of his misery last night at the Big Brother Final Four. We have our Final Three set. Wednesday night is going to be the finale, so we can catch up a little bit about that. And then later on in this hour, you and I will begin handing out the hardware. We are going to be handing out the awards for the Oofiest Achievement at the first annual Oofy Awards for Big Brother 21. So stay tuned for that. But Eric, a lot has changed in the last week in the Big Brother house since you and I spoke last on Thursday night. Things are really broke against the direction and the desires of Cliff and Nicole this week. And it's all been coming up Jackson and Holly since then.
Oof. Let me tell you something. This was painful to watch. All right. I mean, you guys covered it all week long, but I'm going to permit you to compete in a competition that there's absolutely no reason that you wouldn't compete in. Here's a deal for you. It's going to benefit me entirely. It's not going to benefit you at all. But since man to man, we're discussing it, that's cool, right? I'm just going to lay it out there for you. It's been a long time since I felt secondhand embarrassment to the extent I did after he whispers, after they announce the veto results, and he whispers to Nicole, "We're both staying." It's like, what? You're not both staying. And you know, Cliff was famously named my father before the season ever began. I love seeing him in there. This was not it. This was not it. He did not bring it home here in the end. Now, don't get me wrong. An incredible experience. Lots of highlights. Lots of big competitions. Wins. Super fun having him in there. But man, oh man, this went badly off the rails. And I know we discussed this point ad nauseum. It's hard to imagine how this could have possibly gone worse if Tommy were still there.
Well, I believe way back when, and I feel like that this is a little prescient, that you said that Cliff was playing Adam Pock game.
Yep. And it, to a T. He did things time and time again that kept himself safe and enabled the people in power to further anchor and stronghold their power, because he made himself a number for them instead of opposing them. And the only way he was ever getting to the end of this game was to completely topple the power structure, which he did not do. He instead installed a different power structure that he was also enabling and at the bottom of. And he was never going to be able to win his way to the end. He was going to be a big jury threat no matter what. And he got Adams. It was a very similar game. And everyone hated Adams' game. Let's be clear about this. Everyone thought Adam will tell you to this day that he did what he needed to do to survive and that he did better than all the other newbies. The other four newbies went out first. So Cliff is going to have that to hang on. But the goal of the game is not to just last. It is to potentially win. And I do feel like there were some moves along the way that gave him less of an opportunity to do so. I mean, going back to just because last Thursday, this was all sort of new to us. And then we saw so much more of it on Sunday and Wednesday. The whole house meeting business, this was embarrassing to all of them. I thought Jackson did horribly in that meeting. And I can't believe that anybody was buying what he was selling. His points made no sense. As I noted last Thursday night, Tommy would not approach Jackson and say, "Hey, let's hatch a plan to screw Holly. Here's what I'm doing. I'm going to let you in." That made no sense. But then what really made no sense is the narrative that Tommy has been coming after you, Cliff and Nicole. He's been coming after you. Well, what are Jackson and Holly going to do in the final four other than also come after them? Like, of what relevance is that? There is nobody left. There's nothing more to happen. Plus, after Jackson has completely exploded on Tommy, of course Tommy's going to go after Jackson at that point. So it just really made no logical sense. Cliff was anchored in because it was of personal benefit to him, but it really wasn't. It really wasn't. They needed the manpower, somebody else. And yes, Tommy would have been very difficult to beat in the end. And the most likely scenario is they would have lost to Tommy also. Mm-hmm. But they needed Tommy there playing these competitions against Jackson. They couldn't, and instead they gave Jackson a second player on his team.
Yeah, I think Cliff was really just looking for a way to go with Jackson and Holly. I think it was probably overreported how much Jackson's work at the House meeting and his lie ultimately changed anything. I think that probably when you look at it, I don't know if it did. And then it was once Cliff got Holly to match Tommy's offer of throwing the final four HOH, I think then Cliff said, well, if they're giving us the same deal, we got it. We can go with them.
Right. And to also Cliff's unfortunate demise is he needed to do what Jackson actually did. He would have been way better off with Holly as the HOH, because then it would have been a possibility that Nicole might have been evicted if they weren't going to win the veto and he wasn't the HOH holder. It actually was a huge disservice to him to have Holly jumping off that competition and giving it to Nicole. So the whole thing was like super half baked. And but talking himself into believing it. And I don't know how much of that is for TV or how much of it is just it's a long summer, but oof.
Yeah,
it was rough. And it's, you know, it's been rough for all of them. Holly has like lost any sort of like claim to the game that she ever had. We thought earlier on that she was playing this like very stealth, subtle, well-positioned game. She was not.
No.
It's hard. We know everybody stands Nicole. We know she's been so great in there, so wonderful. But where are Nicole's huge strategic influence moments of the summer? She won a couple of great competitions. It's the perfect time to come on. She handled herself well. I think that she played a good game. But let's not get carried away. I heard you saying this the other night. She didn't light the world on fire. You know, she did fine.
And I think something about Nicole is that I think she's had really good reads about things in terms of what she's been able to observe in this season. But I think that she has not been able to act on those reads. I think that she's been too timid at times. And I do think it's the kind of thing that if she gets the chance to play again, then maybe she might be able to then be able to say, hey, you know what, Cliff, stop. I'm right. You're wrong. We're going my way. Okay, Cliff, that I know I'm not following you down off. I'm not going to ride shotgun as we Thelma and Louise this thing into the,
right. Yeah, for sure.
Into the abyss. No,
but it is, though, a social game, and she never had the capital or numbers to enact these plans. So she could have told, you know, Cliff these things, but she really just was without the army, which, of course, puts her in a great position as the underdog and a popular position, but it's not a good game position. And as for Jackson, there have been people on every season that could win 10 competitions. You know what happens to those players on seasons that have actually good players? They go home. So that way they can't win 10 competitions. Ah. So, yes, they're normally known as Nick Starcevic, Nick Juhas, somebody, you know, maybe Jeremy Maguire. I mean, these douchebags are in every single house. They just go home in week three because someone like Andy or someone like Derek or someone like myself sends them home before this happens. And the fact that they all sat there and allowed this to happen, I think, is an indictment of the overall house play. I fall where you fell. Heard you talking about this the other night. The collective gameplay this season was horrific. They evicted the wrong person almost every single week. They like went after their own allies. They broke up alliances to a fault in illogical ways. They trusted the wrong people. It seemed like nary a plan ever actually went as intended or the way that would have been like the path of least resistance. It seemed like they all made everything harder for themselves. So even look at Jackson. Instead of evicting Sis and Jess, he could have evicted Christy and Tommy and been playing endgame competitions against Sis and Jess. Like, it's just, to me, it's an oof for everyone.
For everybody.
It's a complete oof. And yes, they've had their moments, but I'm sorry. You start going back through the jury and looking at Nick and Sis and Kat and Jack and Jess. I mean, so many terrible, terrible Big Brother players.
Yeah. Eric, we learned a lot about Jackson this past week as the focus is really starting to I think I used the focus too early in that sentence, but it's all coming into focus for Jackson Mickey, as we've learned a lot about the season's most likely winner this week. A man who is willing to do anything to win the game, a man who is dead set on walking out into a firestorm of confetti on Wednesday night, and a man who, above all else, values his mama.
You know, I think he's setting up for Blood versus Water, Big Brother edition, and it's going to be a war. It's going to be the Mickeys, Mama Mickey and Jackson Mickey, and they'll be taking on none other than Frankie and Mommy.
Yeah, that would be.
We will have Joan and Frankie on one side, and I've been fascinated ever since last Thursday.
Now, I will say that now for Jackson, I think that he would have a big leg up, since he is the only and clearly favorite child. Jackson.
But he also has that little bit of not to throw in the survivor of it all, but he doesn't know where his mama is. It's a Where's Davy moment, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that could be a problem if she's running amok. They can't get on the same page, you know?
Yeah. Let's listen in a little bit back earlier this week when Holly was trying to console Jackson.
Oh, man, I could use a hug from mom right now. Where's mama?
I mean, where does he think she is? She's home. She's not there, Jackson. She's not there. It's the most bizarre, very perverse narrative, incredibly creepy. Definitely some like a Bates Motel situation. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, I've been fixated on the life and times of Fish Mickey ever since he was referenced on last Thursday's show. Yeah. And I'm all in on a spinoff now. A Meet the Mickeys. We could have Jackson, we could have Mama, we could have Fish, we could have Chestnut Checkers, we could have the whole family there. It could be animated. I'm in for this. This is, what is happening at the Mickey household? We could also have Mickey Mitchie. You know, there's so many people we could make in here.
Yeah. Is Holly going to be a fixture on that show?
Well, if Jackson wins, then maybe she'll try the tag along for, you know, we know the theory here. He's got to make it till at least the Christmas gifts, right? So, especially if he wins $500,000. So about Jackson's sheer desperation and plight to find his mama in the house, I have come up with a theory, and it does not always hold true. But I think more often than not, the people who most desperately need to be in the Big Brother house and need the money and don't know where else to go with their lives and don't know what to do will sometimes fight the hardest to be there. It's either the people who want to be there the most, who it means the most to, or the people who really
got nowhere else to go.
Nowhere else to go. And I think you are seeing a man. Yes. Who? Yes. It's a funny story. I approached Crazy James once and said, you know, if you were homeless at the time of your casting, how did they fax you all of the paperwork?
Yeah.
And I thought I was like just making a joke. And he got very like legitimately upset. I was homeless, Eric. He said, oh, I'm sorry, but I was just honestly asking, like, did you have a fax machine? They sent it to a local Staples. OK, this is what he told me. So just saying. Nonetheless, Jackson is a man. And it's paying off for him right now. And it's impressive, who is saying, I have nothing else to do if I don't win this game. This is it for me. And I say kudos to him. He's digging in and making it happen.
Yeah. What is Jackson's occupation outside of Big Brother? I feel like it's never referenced on the show. Is he a student?
No, I think he's a server.
Now, don't you feel like that is a weird occupation for him? I feel like a man so obsessed with food and eating, like no chance he's not like
he's getting fired. Yeah.
Your food, right?
They're interviewing him and he's like, what's the employee discount or policy rather on just eating the leftovers off the plate? Yeah. Is that an issue?
What kind of restaurant do you think Jackson works in?
I feel like a sexy restaurant where he's like sort of the male sort of Hooters type of situation, because there's been a lot they go there for casting. So it's like something where he's being sexualized in some way. Really short shorts.
So some place where that there are clear Board of Health violations going on, where he's wearing no shirt but a bow tie.
Yep. Clearly, we both said it at the same time. Maybe a vest, possibly as well.
Okay, I'd love to see sort of a follow up on this.
Yeah, this could be an upcoming rap episode for you.
Yes, I'll go eat there, and then before he ends up, shoving me into some sort of garbage disposal.
I do not think it's in. There's a non-zero chance that when he hits that confetti and Julie hands him the proverbial $500,000 watermelon, that he just stiff arms Holly right out of the screen with him. Says, it's over, girl. It's done. Yeah. Done. No. I liked what Taryn said last night. It's going to be selfish for the first time in my life, girl.
Be selfish.
AKA the sixth time this season.
Right. No, it's a fascinating element here to follow this relationship where so much of it depends on who wins. I really feel like she wins, she's going to keep him. I feel like she loses and then he wins the money, she's going to be getting the proverbial hymen.
And it's going to be a usual suspect. He's going to hop into the car or rip off his mask. This was the plan all along. Yes. I just used you.
So really for Holly, she's facing a Big Jeff Schroeder dilemma of, would you rather win and be loved, or would you rather lose and be not loved?
I'm concerned about post-show Holly around all of those animals drinking her sorrows away. This could be a bad look for Holly. I think we are going to need to monitor her. I think she's I guess if she wins, it'll be great, but we'll see. I've got very, very anxious on the New York subways listening to you guys count potential votes for these final two scenarios. This is going to be interesting.
Well, the jury has been so unpredictable in recent Big Brother seasons. I guess seemingly, Eric, is this a new phenomenon or has the Big Brother jury always been unpredictable?
I think it's a fairly new phenomenon because you look at this at surface value and say, how could anyone not vote for Jackson in this situation? But then how could you not vote for Tyler? How could you not vote for Paul? And the one thing I actually think is in Jackson's favor is that he was never particularly liked by anybody. And I think having that as your baseline behavior is less hurtful than Paul and Tyler, who the jury loved and felt very hurt by. I think that they never loved him and they still don't love him, but they therefore don't feel hurt by him. They just feel like, damn, this asshole beat us. I think that will be fine. I think he will win as a result of that. It's very hard for me to sit here, but if they are hurt, you can get to the numbers very, very quickly. But I mean, how can someone sit there and articulate that Holly should beat Jackson in this game? I mean, I'd love to hear someone make that argument.
Well, we heard Jack say last night, she's had her fair share of game moves. Yes, at some point or another.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. That just totally tipped the scales. I'm thinking about this different. All right, let's actually play this game for 30 seconds. Okay. You have been hired as the representation for Holly's game. You have been asked to argue her victory over Jackson. Where do you go with that?
Okay. And who's she up against? Against Jackson?
Against Jackson.
Okay. I think that you sort of, and again, I don't think that this is what she will do. I think that you would try to, as the lead defender on this team, I think we try to say that my client, Holly, she knew all along that she found this guy in the house and she knew that he was ticketed to win competition after competition. And so what did she do? Much like one of her wild animals, she took some food into the palm of her hand and led him exactly where she wanted to go.
Like the Jackson Whisperer.
While she could not beat him physically, she was able to, with a riding crop, get him to go exactly where she wanted to take him. She was the brains of this operation, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. And you know he was the brawn.
I was pretty good. I like it. But not believable, it but not, a good narrative.
Well, I will say at times that there were moments, and everybody knows that I am not a authority on the live feeds, but I feel like that even I saw a couple of times that he had like a ridiculously crazy idea that he was about to go do, especially earlier in the season. And she's like, Jackson, Mickey, do not do this. Do not, Mickey, come back here. Come back. So I do think that at times she was the voice of reason. I think he should win. But I think that there was at times that they did put their two heads together on things and maybe come up with a better plan than he might have done on his own.
I think we discussed it maybe 8 weeks ago. And I said at the time there were only four potential winners, and that was Tommy, Christie, Jackson, and Holly. And I felt Holly was a potential winner for a really good portion of the game because I assumed her gameplay was intentional. So in that regard, she was always positioned perfectly in the Jackson, Jack, Christie, Tommy situation where she was never going to be the target, but she was always in the majority. It seemed like her word mattered. She was contributing to the group. It was almost similar to that sort of Andy positioning in the game where you are in a good spot, or even Josh Martinez, but it's not all eyes on you. But that's when I thought that she was doing it deliberately,
right?
And that she was like had chosen to put herself there, but actually she just was there because she was truly a non-entity. She never, Nicole came on and kicked it into another gear. Holly seemed to sort of shrivel up somewhere along the way. So it would be a hard case to argue because she didn't come on strong in the end. She did not influence the game when it really mattered. So, and even her HOHs, she didn't really even get out people that she wanted out or that were like a particular threat to her or anything. Yeah. So it's going to be tough for her, but her against Nicole, well, she has a lot more friends on the jury, so it could just be as petty as that. Could it be, oh yeah, I played the game with Holly. I like Holly. Great. Holly wins. The end.
Eric, speaking of the jury, we spent a lot of time finding out what's been going on in that jury house and maybe the most oofy jury house of all time, Eric. We got to see a lot last night. We spent two whole segments with them. And while we've had jury houses that probably have had more fighting, this one had a big revelation last night that we found out about another relationship in this very tangled web of Big Brother 21 that Kat has now become the new de facto squeeze of Nick Macaroni.
Classic Macaroni. That's Macaroni and Cheese right there is their showman's name. What is happening? I am so intrigued. He's now got me thinking that I might be attracted to this man because I'm so wowed by the fact that he has this animal magnetism to him that I'm captivated. Yes. Never has a man had less personality, less game. He's a baby. He's, if I'm really being childish in a mean girl, but he has these weird folds in his head where his nose and his forehead touch each other, which is very unnerving. Yeah. He's terrible. So how is he succeeding so well? So Eric, he's got to be the world's most charming, handsome man in person.
Eric, just to give it a little sneak preview for this week's Robin Akiva Need a Podcast episode number 50. We went back and watched the 2001 Rob Schneider film The Animal, starring my Survivor colleague Colleen Haskell. Are you familiar with this film?
It's been a while. I mean, I can't say I remember specific plot points. But. Yes.
Well, he has these animalistic urges at points in the film. Is that possible? Is Nick part man, part animal?
I guess he's just giving off that essence. He's really the king of the jungle out there, right? He's just there's just something about him that's so
not like
so
Luke
rugged. Yes. And so I did like when he came in the jury house, like, yeah, guys, I got a haircut. I'm feeling good now. Like it's all part of his plan all along. And Kat, oof. I mean, where is she going with all of this? I mean, and listen, I can keep their personal lives out of it, but I mean, the amount of people that these guys are tearing through guys and girls. I mean,
right.
And I was poo-pooed at the live show when I called it and said this is what was going on behind jury doors. Everyone said, come on, don't be gross, don't be infantile. And I said, oh no, I went to the jury house.
Yeah.
I lived there.
Yeah, why did you get shut down for that?
I know the narrative of this cast. This is what's happening at the jury house. There's nothing to do there. They're finally giving you alcohol for the first time. And when a man with as much appeal as Nick Macaroni is living with you, you cannot resist this man.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because I think that we are going to start to see the application videos for Big Brother from like all of the guys who are, you know, threes and fours and fives is just going to skyrocket, because it's just like, if you end up in the jury house, who knows? Your chances are really good, I guess.
I mean, listen, we don't need to look beyond half of the screen of this podcast right now. It's a tale as old as time. you lock people in a house together.
Yeah.
Enough with no
Change
other
options. Dynamics.
At least Kat owned it. It's the Big Brother goggles. There's no other options. In fact, my favorite diary room that I had when I was on the show was, listen, I may be no great Shakespeare, but the other options are a 44-year-old pervert and an ogre named Zach who's shrekking around this house. So where is there really four my showmans to turn in this case? And I feel, but so that's the bizarre part though, because Nick, there are other places for them to turn. I mean, I guess Jackson's still in the house, but you know, Jack is there. I don't know.
Jack's with sis.
I guess who knew it was on lockdown like that? This is, I
have nowhere else to go. It's not like she's ever out at the store or anything.
As they say, well, she had to get that hat somewhere. But as the world turns here, I'm going to go out on a even crazier limb and say, in a few months, Jackson and Kat are going to be back together.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And a young Nick Macaroni is not going to be happy, but he never had his chance at Holly yet. So okay. You never know.
What do you think the reunion between Nick and Bella is going to be like at the finale?
I feel like she's going to come in hot. I think she's going to be
coming hot. I feel like he's going to come in like, what? Why are you mad? What did I do?
Yeah.
Yo.
Bro.
Yo. That
you
was
take the good, you like take that. The bad. Yeah. You take them both and there you have the facts of my Big Brother game.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's totally swear it off. I think he might not speak to her finale night possibly. And she's been building up. And the worst part for her is this is all they're going to ask her at the finale. This is going to be her one 15-second
you know
moment.
What? Tell me if this is like a crazy take. Like, isn't this best case scenario for Bella? I mean, of what the questions they could be asking her are, like, isn't it like if you would have told us on July 20th, Bella will come to the Big Brother finale as a sympathetic figure. I think.
Yeah,
I don't think so, Rob. Good.
No, I like where your head's at. This is creative thinking. This is where you are, Rob. This is excellent, because I agree. She was insufferable in the house, and now she's beloved.
One
she's
of the
now
most
she's now
hated people,
era.
And through no fault of her own.
Yeah, well, she was fairly toxic there, and now she's turned it all around. No, I totally agree, and it's very interesting because most people don't get that chance at redemption. I heard a ridiculous conversation about how the second half of the season, it was better because those hot button issues that plagued the first month of the season weren't there anymore. They weren't there anymore because they evicted all of the people. So how could Jackson be racist in the house anymore if there was nothing to be racist about? Mm-hmm. It's very bizarre how the fan base forgets where they came from with certain people. And it's like a very here and now narrative. So, yeah, I guess all's well that ends well for Bella, right?
Yes. So we'll see. So good for Bella. I'm sure, like, I don't want to diminish Bella. I'm sure is having real pain, but I'm sure it's annoying.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's slightly embarrassing. You don't want to deal with
it. But I'm a big picture guy.
Well, do you? I mean, she can't be that broken up about Nick Macaroni.
Yeah, I mean, and I would say also big picture, you dodged a bullet also, Bella. Yeah,
that's right. Better to not invest the time, right? You know, now she can get out there, do her thing in the after Big Brother community. There's plenty of people from season 20, from season 19, from season 18. She's going to end up, you know, spending time with. So there's really no need to be all in on Nick.
Eric, I'm glad you brought up season 20 because we had a tease for Sunday night's episode, which might be the breaking form here a little bit, because usually we would expect either, you know, Derek or Mark McGrath or somebody to come in like Big Jeff. Hey, tell me about the season. Let's talk about what was going on. Let's rehash some things. Maybe we're getting something different potentially on Sunday night. Julie Chen Moonves says she's going to be part of it. And we are also going to hear from the final three players from last season. And of course, that means last season's winner, KC.
That second appearance of the season
second
for
appearance
her.
Of the season.
Damn, she's good TV.
That also means an appearance from Tyler, last season's runner-up. And I think maybe most exciting for you and I, an appearance from last season's third place finisher, JC, is returning to the house on Sunday night.
He's going to come with a big vat of beef sauce.
Come on and get nice and fat, my sweeties.
Cliff is a moron.
Yes. Are we going to potentially push the limits of what Jackson will consume? When will JC come out with some sort of a cauldron, some sort of watermelon hot dog stew fruit cocktail?
Just put everything we had in here.
I made like a pasta with hot dogs, ground beef, and everything I found around the house. This is like a beef sauce.
There was a floor shrimp that I got from Celebrity Big Brother.
This is delicious. You're the best cook I've ever met since Mama.
He says, he starts crying. I hate to have to do this to the beef. Oh man, Jackson and his faux tears have been just awful. But JC, I mean, I was very upset to see recently that the fan base has not warmed up to JC. A man, he sleeps with one stuffed animal before the season.
Yeah.
He tries to cuddle up with people who don't want to on the feeds, and they really turned on him. JC was by far the best character between the last two seasons. Not even close. In fact, I'll go back to 19 as well. Probably 18. What more do you want?
Look,
a character than JC.
We can't, like that. Every that when you the problem with Big Brother is that, you know, upon, you know, closer inspection, you know, there are no heroes. That's what it really comes down to. But on our TV screens, the man was entertaining.
I mean, this is, again, goes back to the point of reality TV. Nobody said it. They're trying to assemble 16 likable people. It's just 16 people. It's a cross section of the population. So, yeah, he's an unlikable creep, but he was good television. Great.
Yes. I'm getting, because we're live today, we're getting a request. Liv in the chat is requesting.
Fessel is a moron.
I mean, right. Has there been anything better than that in the diary room this entire summer?
He was the king of the diary room.
Has anyone ever asked Fessy about this? I haven't heard a lot of post-show deep dive in. He didn't sit down for 3.5 hours and go week by week through his game. But I've been sincerely curious how he felt to go back and watch the episodes where who he has put his entire trust and faith in just rips him all season long.
Yeah. I don't know. If we've,
what a gem. And also what's wrong with Angela?
Yeah.
So you have KC twice, Tyler twice.
Yeah.
And presumably, and listen, I don't know anything. As far as I know, there's still a couple. Why is this man not bringing his girlfriend with him to the house. These appearances. What is happening here? Very strange to me.
Oh, it's not my place to. It's not my place to.
I wonder why they wouldn't want to have someone back on a TV show. You know, maybe just maybe they think that she's potentially. Nah, she's great TV. It can't be that she's.
Maybe they only have time to talk to three people.
Must be. Must not be that she's the.
That's not what I heard.
I mean, yeah, that Dynamite Casey's back twice. So
yes, yeah. Okay, all right, Eric. That we need to segue. We have some work to do today. We have to give some things out, and we are going to get into the very highly anticipated Oofy Awards for the oofiest achievement in Big Brother 21.
Can I? As hosted by Gallagher, no doubt.
Yes. That's actually not the music that Gallagher came out to. Gallagher's exciting music is.
What a life we lead at the Oofies.
Yes, what a life we lead indeed, Eric. And the 2019 Oofy Awards are presented by our presenting sponsor of the Oofy Awards, Manscaped.com, Eric.
Whoa!
Support.
This is the first I'm hearing of Manscaped.com.
Yeah, support for the Summer of Stein comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Eric, that we know that keeping yourself Manscaped in the Big Brother house is no small feat, right? It's already easy to injure yourself anytime, but especially trying to avoid the prying eyes of the live feeders.
It is actually truly challenging because you can't use an electric situation because you can't be plugging in out in public. You can't bend down too far below the frosted glass. If I had the best tools possible, it would have made things a lot more manageable.
Yes, that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer, the Lawnmower 2.0. Eric, I have one here.
I was not expecting this.
Has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick macaroni your nuts.
Which is a legitimate danger, so that's good.
Now I'm sure Nick is an expert manscaper, can go right into trimming his bangs right after. No, not recommended. Yeah. Of course, you wouldn't want to use the same trimmer for your face and hair that you're using on your balls. That is just nasty.
Nasty.
That's right. That's why Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant. Unlike Jackson, who used a traditional deodorant to deodorize, you don't want to do that.
I also did some crop dusting as well.
Yes. Manscaped.com has everything you need. Check out this device. They call this, this is the plow also. Plenty of plowing going on in the Big Brother jury house, I'm sure, as well. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code RHAP at manscaped.com. Always the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code RHAP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off, not oof, 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code RHAP. All right.
Yeah, manscaping.com says no more bowl cuts.
Yeah. All right. And look, and when your privates are being seen by as many people as Nick's, you want to make sure that you are doing everything you can to keep everything aesthetically pleasing. Okay?
Jeff Probst would have liked that read. A lot of ball work there.
Yes. All right. Eric, we have some Oofy awards to hand out, and so many different moments. Why don't we open things up with the Oofy award for the best produce item of the season? The Oofy Award for the best produce item of the season. The nominees are, Eric, I'll give you the nominees and you tell us who the winner is and why, okay?
Okay.
All right. The nominees are Jackson's watermelon that was smashed by Al the Alien.
That was a tough one. It was a tough one. We know that hurt.
The stuffed carrot that was a pillow in the HOH room.
Okay.
We have the salad from the jury house last night. Did you catch this, where there was a salad and Sis remarked,
"That looks really good."
Did you see the salad?
I thankfully missed that. What about the salad that Cliff tossed before the wife?
Hold on. We'll get there. And then finally, we have the bathroom cucumber.
The bathroom cuke is the head and shoulders winner here. That was a disgusting moment. And since these are the Oofies, we are not celebrating necessarily the best, only the best of the worst, so to speak. And there has been a lot of bad this summer. This has been the most Oofy cast since easily Big Brother 19, so one full year ago. Yep. But this has been an Oofy bunch nonetheless. But I'm going to have to say, two men manhandling, bizarrely sharing, licking, urinating with, not hand washing, and sharing a cucumber in that way together was like nothing I have or ever hope to see again. So
nasty.
Yeah. She's not wrong. That was one of her second biggest moment of the season right there.
Biggest moment of the season. Oh, okay. Well, Eric, this is a great transition because to present the next award, it's the award for the oofiest Jess soundbite of the season. Yeah. Oofiest Jess soundbite of the season. Okay. We have our first nominee.
People think that I am this like memory, like person. Like, I'm not that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I suck ass.
It's on at least six levels. It's a rough situation. I know we can go back and check the tape. That had to be a Frankenbite. There's no possible way that an adult woman put that together in that manner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. From the Hide the Veto competition, Jess tells us her strategy.
I'm hiding my life preserver under my bed, wrapped up in a pillowcase. I mean, I am a snooze fest, so.
Okay. Snooze fest.
Okay. I like how she thinks she's in on the joke.
All right. Here is Jess making a prediction of what is about to happen in the second part of the double eviction in her moment with Julie Chen.
How big of a mistake did Mickey make in targeting you this week?
I think I'll see him coming out the door in this next one.
In this hour?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Huh?
Not a great prediction. Not a great comprehension of the question. Not really.
And finally, here is Jess in the HOH competition up on the wall.
Meg, I gotta go.
You gotta just...
I don't want to hurt myself.
I'm struggling to find a good angle, a good grip. I'm trying to figure out, is there a way that I can potentially fall off gracefully and...
And an
rude.
If we're being technical here, probably her oofiest statement of the entire Big Brother experience was in her pre-interviews when she said that she was going to be a sassy good player in the game and is going to take no shit from anyone and is going to control the action of the house, because that did not land.
Okay. Yeah, that landed with a major Nicole fall, which I can't find on the soundboard, but yeah. Okay. All right, Eric, we need you to give us the winner, but hold on, don't give it to us yet. Here we go. All right. Eric, the winner for the oofiest Jess statement of the season. With Julie.
Yep. I'm going for an upset here. Her complete lack of awareness of where she was, her complete lack of engagement with the host of the show, and the fact that she was so certain that Jackson would be following her out of the door, which has proven to be a very, very inaccurate prediction. I mean, her likes, that seemed like that was the overrunning favorite. Her scream that brought us so much joy. That's not an oof. That's a four-foo right there. That's a great situation, the scream. So I'm going to, for the most cringeworthy, the time that I sat there thinking to myself, what is happening to this poor woman right now, was out with Julie. So I'm going for an upset here.
An upset. Okay. Congratulations, Jess. Okay. This was one that was submitted to us on Twitter by Tara from Albany. We got to talk to you at the live show last week. This is the award for the oofiest casting decision of the season. Okay. All right. We have...
Y'all know each other.
Christy and Tommy. We have Holly and Kat.
Y'all know each other.
We have Sis. We have Jess. And we have Nick. Eric.
A real murderer's row. Yes. Three in a row there from the jury.
Yes. All right. The oofiest casting decision of the season. Let's go to Eric Stein.
Well, as we just heard, this needs some analysis. Jess did just bring us a lot of entertainment, albeit unintentional. Nick, the man's a Casanova. Obviously, in the room with him,
Robin,
you can't
Casanova.
Turn that down.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. As he's just too good. Too good. And then, you know, individually, I enjoyed Tommy and Christy on the show. I didn't really understand the Holly Kat narrative. That was not described very well. So that wasn't great. The totality of everyone knowing each other is very bad. But I'm going to have to go with the chicken herself. Sis is the worst casting of the season. Why, may you ask? Because she offered quite literally nothing other than her looks to the show. And you know what? There has to be at least 5 million attractive 21-year-olds that you could put in the house, in LA alone, in the finals of casting alone. Where did we land on Sis? She can barely put a sentence together. She had no idea where she was, no desire to be there. And as we have covered ad nauseum, they could have just sent her to Love Island to live happily ever after.
Yeah.
And do paid appearances for easily 3 weeks later in the summer. So I'm going to give the award to Sis, who had quite literally no business being there whatsoever.
Okay. To accept the award for Sis / also known as Annalise, is the clip of Sis asking about how shorter days works in the Big Brother house.
Wait, the days are getting shorter? What do you mean?
Yeah, we're past the summer solstice. Days progressively get shorter from the summer solstice to the winter solstice.
So every single day.
That means 10 will come sooner.
Daylight-wise.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Buck, buck.
Okay. Eric, let's keep going, okay? And we will pivot from Sis to the oofiest Nick Macaroni thing of the season. Okay. All right.
You only have 45 seconds on the clock, so get ready.
Yes. Okay. We have an incredible amount of nominations. So let's hold on. And then I'll get your analysis and then we'll get the drum roll. So we'll get this right eventually. All right. The nominees are Nick tells the world he's a 45 second man.
His Nick. Only true mistake there, as an aside, was to simply speak of it. Doing it. Listen, it's fine, Macaroni. That's it had fine. Been a couple weeks at that point, but you just didn't need to go and trumpet it out there, you know?
That's fine. Okay. Nick flirts with Sis after hooking up with Bella.
Interesting. I will say, cringeworthy that he thought that he had a chance with Sis, except I now am of the belief he has a chance with everyone.
Everyone.
Right. Yeah. So maybe it wasn't that crazy, guys. He was shooting for the stars, you know?
Yeah. Nick getting in a jury house showmance with Kat before he can break things off with Bella.
Okay. Definitely not his oofiest. Okay. I'd say, you know, from Nick's perspective. Now, I don't know this because he is so damn appealing. But, you know, he's probably not dating, you know, cat caliber women outside of the Big Brother experience. So he's trying to work with what he's got in a limited time frame. He doesn't have them locked up that much longer, you know?
Okay. Nick's Taco Tuesday performance is a nominee.
Didn't end well.
Okay. Nick accuses Nicole of making up that she is somebody that suffers from anxiety.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah, that was not good.
That was not good.
They did hire a fake child as his patient for the opening sequence. You know, the Nick as therapist narrative really did not pan out.
Yeah.
As we got into the season.
Nick's haircut and memory wall photo.
Oof.
Is a nominee.
Not great. Not great. And Rob, you know as well as anyone, those stick with you. How many times over the last 12 years have I had to ask you to replace my bad memory wall photo on a podcast cover art?
I know. Well, we have that. There's been different people who make the pictures. I have to let them know, hey, when you talk to Eric Stein, don't just Google Eric Stein and then use whatever, you know, press photo that comes up like we do with everybody else. Like, it's all of it. We
need the model shots. Yeah.
Yes.
And 12 years from now, when you're doing the Summer of Nick, he's going to say the same thing.
Yes. And then finally, Nick tells Julie Chen Moonves that he's funny.
Hi, since I landed on Haley's Comet, it's only right for me to tell you how ravishing you look today.
Why, thank you, but I need you to cast your vote, please.
I'm funny. I vote to evict Jack.
Oh my God, is he going to try and get with Haley next? Oh my, this is a...
Watch out, Bessie.
This is a disaster. Oh my God. First of all, by just stringing these together, you personally have just saved Jess and Nick's presences in the house. They have brought me so much joy. I don't know how I ever questioned how either of them were in this cast. These were some of the most unwitting dummies that have ever been on the show. I mean, this is pure comedy gold. That is a list like very few have assembled. You know, this is Oh man, so many options. I mean, several of them actually sent shivers down my spine when you said that. And then we didn't even get into, you know, giving people foot jobs they didn't ask for and all other kinds of problems this man was having in there. Yeah. He was a star of the summer. I'm going to say, well, his haircut was just brutal. And as was really all of these things. But the moments that I felt most disgusted live in the moment was him anointing himself as funny. Yes. That was just brutal.
Okay. So Nick is funny. Let's hear it one last time. Because he has given us so many laughs.
Hi. Since I landed on Haley's comment, it's only right for me to tell you how ravishing you look today.
Why, thank you. But I need you to cast your vote, please.
I'm funny. I vote to evict Jack.
Part of his genius is that I think that Nick thinks that he was the star of the show. Well, I think he thinks he is dynamite.
Because
I think
he won America's Prankster. So he is under the impression that, that when he gets out of here, America is like, yo, Nick, you got it going on. Yeah. We've seen all these people that want to get with you. That's why
the ladies want me. The men want to be me.
Yeah.
I'd like to see all the guys come in with the Caesar look for the finale. That would be nice. As an this guy thinks that he just killed it. Just is so funny, such a good game player. Oh man. His delusions is really what sells his comedy for me.
Yes. Okay. Eric, it's time now for a very important moment here. Are you ready to hand out the Oofy Award for the Lifetime Oof Achievement Award? Are we ready for that?
Oh man. There are so many people who have come through the pantheon.
Now to present the award for the Lifetime Oof Achievement Award. Here is America's favorite player, Eric Stein.
Well. So many places we can take this. Several active felons.
Yes. Eric, what does the Oofy Award look like? We've never, for next year when we have them made up.
Well, boy, is it a bust of my face like Sandra and Rob?
Yes.
Possibly. Yours and mine alongside of each other.
Yes.
Is it a
tiny sex stool?
Could be a shattered watermelon, perhaps, with a mallet. It could potentially be a cameo. It could be a cameo we send to all of the winners if you are so fortunate. It could be a steak crush in it. Mm-hmm. Potentially. I don't know. So many ways that we could do this. We're going to have to get someone to design this for us.
Maybe it could be like a little bronze JC. Like with the chef's hat.
As long as he himself does not have access to that.
Yes. Okay. All right.
This is rough. It's rough. There's some people who come to mind right away. Kathy Stuck in the Honey. Mm-hmm. One of the all-time great oofs.
Yes.
Adam Jasinski.
Yes.
He really oofed it out of the park. There's been some really bad takes on the house. Big Jeff with his not so good take about Dumbledore.
Right.
That could be an all-time oofer right there.
Yes.
They're rolling to me. There are several people who went to the Big Brother house. And they never mentally left. They're still there. They're still playing the game. They're still in the throes of the drama. I don't feel great about Elena. She feels like she could get an oof.
Yeah.
She's someone who just like is never quite stop rolling the proverbial cameras, if you will. You know, there was Whistle Nut, which is ridiculous name. Several people gone, but not forgotten. I mean, I lived with several unsavory characters. Mm-hmm. That I could like to forget.
Okay. Well, I feel like we've opened something, and now we should.
This is spiraling. Okay.
No, let's wait, hold on. Let's play the music while you're.
No, it's like I'm still going with the list, and you're trying to play me off.
Cut
the
mic, everybody.
No. And then there was David Gurdon. Chelsea's parents, come on down. CBS lawsuits in there. There was the time that Julie added an extra name. Who was the announcer who was in the first six episodes and never came back? The guy who took the tour on Big Brother 1. Remember, we found out there was
a co-host. Yeah.
Could that be him? Could it be? Well,
that's wild.
Okay. Eric, let's get back to
It's Pauly. Okay. It's Pauly.
Yeah. Okay. the next Oofy award goes to the oofiest part of the Summer of Stein here in Big Brother 21. The oofiest part of the Big Brother Summer of Stein. And the nominees are moving to a bi-weekly schedule, audio only and no video, and finally, no new material since Big Brother 20.
I have they're all five oofs. Let's not forget phoned in effort from Eric. didn't see any great video openings from me this time around. There was probably should have booked Pauly and JC as guests this summer. That's felt like really low hanging fruit. Didn't really bother with those phone calls.
We were scared on the Pauly. Yeah.
Rightfully so. But I do have a write-in.
A write-in, yes. A write-in winner.
A write-in winner.
Okay, hold on.
And it is something that was most asked for. Last Thursday, I did not know that this was such a popular element of the Summer of Stein. So here live to accept the award for the oofiest moment of the Summer of Stein, it is the lack of presence of none other than Baby Dino the Dog.
Baby Dino the Dog.
Fresh off a nap. Let's give some hot takes from Baby Dean. Oh, he's scared for his life right now. He doesn't know what's happening. Oh, okay. Hey, buddy.
All right. Congratulations, Baby Dino the Dog.
You have a speech? Nothing? No acceptance speech. Right. Okay. He doesn't seem to want to get off me now either. This is rough.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's like a real Nick situation. Okay. All right. Eric, we have one final Oofy Award to give away, and that Oofy Award goes to the oofiest confessional of the season from Cliff Hogg. Okay. All right. The oofiest confessional of the season from Cliff Hogg. And the nominees are...
I haven't had so many things running away from me since during my dating years, you know, before the wife.
Okay. Then we have another nominee from Cliff.
Balls in my face, balls in my ear, balls in my chin. I've never been hit in the face with this many balls before in my life.
Okay. We have this one.
I haven't taken my clothes off this fast since a late night game of strip poker before the wife. Or she was my girlfriend at the time. Love you, Sharon.
Okay. We have also...
I'm using one hand to try to hold on to the sea creatures that I've already balanced. My other hand's trying to add new sea creatures. I haven't handled this many rods since that fishing trip with the guys out to the Gulf of Mexico. You know, way before the wife.
What?
Oof.
And then finally, our final nominee for Oofiest Cliff Hog Confessional of the Season.
I've never had this much salad tossed in my face before since a kind of bad date a long time ago before the wife.
Actually, one final Oofy Cliff Confessional of the Season, Eric.
I'm pretty proud of the deals that I set up, the way I was able to make it work. I'm the El Cockroach. You just can't get rid of me out of this house. I'm going to keep going forward.
Now, is the oofy part of that the proud of the deals that he set up, or the fact that he took what Brett said last year, or the fact that El Cockroach does not feel like proper Spanish to me? Bare minimum, you know, we've heard of La Cucaracha. So if you can, I don't know if there is a masculine form of that, maybe El Cucaracho, but certainly not El Cockroach. But I do feel, yeah, I feel like it was whispering in Nicole's ear, we're both staying after Jackson won the veto. The rod handling made me uncomfortable. The salad tossing made me uncomfortable. The shrimp poker, that was nice. That was nice. It was a moment, you know, with his future wife. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that was before the wife, but with the wife. You know, it's just before she was his wife. That was nice.
Right.
It's got to be the salad tossing. The original. The first, the number one and only.
Congratulations, Cliff Salad.
I've never had this much salad tossed in my face before since a kind of bad date a long time ago before the wife.
And then sis,
Stevie really salad.
Eric, it was the saddest salad that you've ever seen. It was just like a bowl with like lettuce, and then I think Jack like put some olives on it.
And that's exactly like that's perfect observation for sis. That's exactly her level of contribution to the season.
Yeah. All right.
I would virtually guarantee that sis loves the fall. Just loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Loves everything about it.
And those, Eric, are the 2019 Oofy Awards. Yes. Okay.
I didn't say those things. This is killing me. This is just the tip of the Oofberg. This cast is going to be.
This is killing me,
Tommy.
This is a lie, and you need to stand up for yourself. Now.
She didn't know anything about it. Don't bring her into this.
I didn't say any of that. I didn't she wasn't say in any this room. Of that.
I mean, they're going to be living with their oofs for quite some time after this. Drunk wino gets stampeded by safari animals. Will be on TMZ. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Pegasus roarings everywhere. It's going on eBay. This season's a mess.
Yeah. We also had an honorable mention for how oofy it is that Tommy has continued to shout out Pretty Woman all summer long, its closing on Broadway.
Yeah, that was a bad one. that was rough. It's rough. He's going to need a new job also. Otherwise, my summer long plan for him to get me Broadway tickets is going to fall flat for me. So this is it was tough. I'm sure that even several of our beloved characters of Big Brother 21 are, you know, I feel bad for Ovi, like that he became the cookie man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, you don't go on your favorite show as a strategist, do a perfectly nice job, perfectly entertaining, and then want to be the cookie man. You know, Sam has boiled himself down to two words. I mean, it's just, Jack's whole summer was one
thing.
I mean,
we could have really gotten into comeback. They got off easy on the Oofy Awards, Big Brother 21.
Cat left a trail of oofs just behind her. This stuff.
Eric. One of the things that we were asked to comment about this week, I'm not really sure if anybody asked, but Saved by the Bell, a favorite of yours and mine, has come back, and much like any intellectual property worth a nickel, is due for a reboot on the upcoming NBC streaming service. And so that a little bit is known about it. Eric, do you understand the concept for the upcoming Saved by the Bell reboot? And this, by the way, has nothing to do with Big Brother. So you can skip ahead.
Very, very barely. I know Zach is now some sort of elected official or politician of some sort, which in and of itself feels off the mark for the social media world of 2019. You would think several of his past indiscretions might have come back up and tarnished his campaign potentially, you know, but I know he's in the political realm. I know there is a redistricting going on, and in the most antiquated plot point that I've ever heard described, it sounds like they are sending some, quote, I think, no joke, the log line I read said, some kids from the wrong side of the tracks will come to Bayside and mix it up there.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, this is really crazy, where then in this world of the new Saved by the Bell reboot, Zach Morris is supposedly governor of California, but also Mark Paul Gosselaar has not been approached to play. What are they doing? And then Mark Paul Gosselaar, is he not willing to play, or did they can't afford him? Is that what's going on?
Also, very, 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 very confusing. They said that was kind of though like on some of the later 90210 seasons, they did these narratives with Shannon Daugherty's character without her being there. And like, yeah, she was still in the storyline. Okay. It's always very awkward. I also don't like, you know, let's Bayside. It's implied in this new iteration that Bayside is a school for the wealthy in California, very bizarre, because there were several storylines like Kelly can't afford a prom dress, for example, that would strongly imply that that was not the case the first time around.
Right. Maybe for Lisa. But I mean, Slater does not come from, you know, does not come from a family of means. Remember when they struck oil? Also, it was like, do you know what this could mean for our school, that we have some money now?
Do you think Becky the Duck?
How many fundraisers do they have? Yeah. Now, so in the plot line, even though there is no Mark Paul Gosselaar, Zach Morris is California's controversial new governor. Now, Eric, do you think even in 2019, wouldn't Zach Morris be the most corrupt politician that the world has ever seen? Like, I feel like this is a very dark timeline where Zach Morris has risen to in the political right. Like, Zach Morris should not be a city councilman, let alone the governor of the state with the biggest economy in the 50 states.
I mean, he does have a lot of good schemes, though, through the years that we did see him hatch. Maybe he's still able to call timeouts and he's able to work through problems, you know, and also at the end of 30 minutes, his problems always resolve themselves. So I do think actually he might be a pretty decent option. I'm going to go against you there. I think what we need to do right now is a little bit of an impromptu draft. Who is going to show up as the principal of Bayside High?
Okay. I think I say, who would be the best elected official from the Bayside crew? I don't know. I feel
that's,
like
that what could be Kevin the Robot.
Yeah.
Possibly would be nice.
Yeah. So, all right. So who is going to be the principal of Bayside High School?
Well, this is it's low hanging fruit. It's got to be a cameo. It's got to be someone from the old guard. Ox. The question is it one of the heavy hitters is it getting like Tory out here?
Yeah, I don't know who would do it.
Well, I think it's safe to say they're not touching Dustin Diamond and Lark Voorhees with a 10-foot pole.
Why not Lark Voorhees? What happened to her?
Mentally checked out.
I think she's the only person that I think they could get.
No, I think they could get her. I don't think that they can
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
Get her.
What do you think?
Right. It's not gonna be Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been karaokeing in California recently.
Rod Belding.
Rod's gonna let them down. He can't use Rod. Is it possible that the bopper himself, Richard Belding, might be back at school?
I would think that maybe we have like a Belding descendant as the principal, like maybe like Mr. Belding's daughter. But I don't think that. I don't think that Dennis Haskins is ready for HD world.
I not so long ago pitched him as a potential talent on a show, and I got some pretty favorable reactions because most of the executives are roughly in our relative age bracket, you know, so they have the nostalgia feels for, I don't know, could be like who are like, could it be Max, for example? Could it be Casey Kasem, possibly?
Here I am back at Bayside High School. And we're bringing back the radio station, and we're going to be podcasting.
Let's all do the spring.
Let's do the spring. Eric, do you see also that's going to do a Punky Brewster reboot?
Yeah, this is not good. This is not good. Nobody wants that. And truly, no one wants the Saved by the Bell one either. I have a, you know, the nostalgia reboot. It's gone totally over the moon here, but they try and bring this stuff back every 25 years or so. So that way the parents will force it upon their children. But the problem is they had the college years. They had the new class. They had the new class. This is not like something that totally went away. I don't know if you happen to see any of the 90210 reboot, but it was hot garbage. So, you know, you have to be the diehard of all diehards. And as soon as this was announced, and I am not kidding, I am not pandering to you, my number one immediate reaction was, oh God, I'm going to have to watch these and podcast about them. That was the first thing.
Well, we'll do a short one. Yeah. Right.
But I love Saved by the Bell. So if I'm not excited about it, how could anybody possibly be?
Yeah.
And also, so they say that Slater and Jesse are parents in the school district, right? Do we think that they are a couple, or do we think that they're
are they just characters? Like, are we just hearing about all the characters and we can't get them, or are they going to recast them?
I don't know.
Or is it like
I
a full house issue where they're going to like come in for like a cameo?
I think worst of all, I think the adults are going to be featured in this instance. So we're going to get like the full adult storylines of, you know, Jesse fighting at the parent teacher organization meeting and stuff like that, which just sounds purely horrible.
Yeah. Looks like since we've been on, Patriots are releasing Antonio Brown. What are your instant reaction, Eric?
Oof. For signing him. Hey, they got one touchdown out of it, right?
Are you giving the Jets a chance now? No, Antonio Brown.
Oh, yes. They're right back in it with the Dolphins' third and fourth stringers from last season. How could it all go wrong?
Okay. All right. Eric, anything else that you want to touch on here for Big Brother 21? Who's the winner?
Jackson. Jackson's the winner of Big Brother 21. Dino agrees. He agrees. He does like watermelon. He's losing his composure. This is a new thing. You see, this is why we couldn't have gotten video. It's his new thing. Last year, he left us alone, and now he's totally lost his mind. He might be
letting himself be hurt. Okay.
Yeah. Jackson's going to be the winner. It was an okay season. I didn't particularly care for it. It was fine. The gameplay wasn't great. There was not a lot of hugely standout characters. But I will say, and this is genuine for one second, is that we were at the live show last Thursday. It was really nice. There was a lot of people there who told me that it was their first live show. It was a lot of people there who told me that they made their closest friends in life through this community. And I know that we don't normally get like Saccharin on the Summer of Stein, and we don't normally, but I wanted to say that you really should be proud and excited of all of this. And if for people who have not been out to these, if you have an opportunity to come out in your city, because the number of people who came and said, hey, I used to watch this stuff by myself alone in my house. And yeah. Now I'm out here and I'm discussing this. And to hear people laugh at the episode, it reminded me, hey, I don't actually hate this show. Look, people are laughing. People are clapping. People are into this. It's a lot of fun to get in the mix. And that's what I loved about Summer of Stein and still do, is that it gives us a chance to just kick it around amongst friends over a show that we all love. It drives us all insane as well. We are so deep down this spiraling wormhole every single summer, and it's just an outlet to treat it as it is. And I have appreciated it. And I will say, I have been very, very busy this summer, and I will take it for our scaling back of the Summer of Stein, but I appreciate the fact that we were still able to come on for a couple of hours whenever we could and laugh and enjoy this stupid show that we all love and love to hate as well. It has been fun for me, and it's not lost on me that all this time after the fact, it's fun to come out and get to do this, and seeing people live reacting to it and seeing that the response is favorable. It's fun. It's the stuff that I want to like about the Summer of Stein. This also speech sounds like I'm going to now say that I'm dying as well.
Yes. Are you dying? Like, is this last episode? Solemn,
if this is the last you ever hear from me.
Eric, well, I really appreciate you saying everything so eloquently. I had a really fun time last week as well. And I mean, I feel like that, you know, it is very fun. I think a lot of people don't know people in real life that they can talk about these shows with. And then they find the podcast, and then they find, people, then they make friends in this community, and then they come out to the shows. And then all of a sudden you're hanging out at a bar with, Eric Stein. Next thing you know,
yeah, I was out until 2:30 in the morning on Thursday night. Right. And it was a work night for me.
Next thing you know, people are following you on Twitter, like harassing you. It's a crazy
it is a great bubble. I mean, I was loving so much seeing Brent and Taryn. These guys are rock stars. They're celebrities. Yeah. Yeah, you're totally right. The whole world and just how it has built out, and it's this big cycle where it's feeding itself and everyone is getting the different positive things out of it. Yeah. But I mean, I've come around in my old man wisdom on some of these things. And this was the first time in a while that I came out to one of these things, really mixed it up and felt like, this is fun. This is a lot of fun. And I'm glad that we made the call to let other people handle the serious, let other people handle the intense, hardcore strategy, and just get a little bit stupid with a show that wants us to get stupid with it, you know?
Yeah. We are treating it as it is asking to be treated.
That's exactly right. And I will say, I must address the elephant in the room here. I did listen to last night's podcast.
Yes.
And I did hear an accusation tossed my way by one of your fellow podcasters. Very, very surprising stuff hearing that I supposedly big timed Caitlin. I would never. Yes. I was certainly not. I showed up 2 minutes before the show. I rudely interrupted you as you were on stage introducing the show, sauntered in. I was sitting off to the side, so I was not in the mix with them throughout the seated show. I came up on stage. We had a job to do. I started talking about the show. And then when we got to the bar, Caitlin was extremely popular, extremely yes. in demand. She had tons of friends and family. And I was lightly popular, lightly in demand, but also had people that I was speaking to. And by no means would it have been an intentional slight. I thought she was great this summer. I thought she was a lot of fun on the show. And as much as fun as it would be to claim that it was like some, intentional choice on my behalf.
Can we come up with a fan fiction of what would be a reason why you would be upset with Caitlin?
Absolutely none. We have similar dogs. We both did childhood theater.
Yes.
We grew up in a similar area. There are many Caitlyn-like people in my friend group. I'm never playing this game again. If I did, she's coming in with an army of 300 people on her side. I certainly wouldn't want her as an enemy. And she's never wronged me in any which way. I was sad to hear that was her interpretation of the events. If anything, I was just trying to stand back and let everyone do their thing.
Thought that you were going to be, more excited to meet her, maybe.
I am not big enough to big time anyone. It's just not a possibility, and not who I am. So I extend a sincere, not an apology because I did nothing wrong, but a sincere sorry for the miscommunication situation here, because that was by no means anything that I was trying to do. And I'm sure that if the occasion comes for us to cross paths again, we will be the dearest of friends. We'll possibly replace you, Rob, and become co-hosts ourselves.
Okay. All right. Eric, you can find him on Twitter. He's at Eric Stein Tweets. And yeah,
this is where I normally just kind of stop down for a while.
Will we talk during the Survivor season? Will you make some time for me to talk, or do you reserve that for the B&B?
Nope, I'm ready. I'm ready for whoever wants me for Survivor. I'm excited. I'm refueled. You may not actually know this. I'm a big Diaz Twine stan. I really am. I think it's
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, well, that not so much. But at a prior Know It Alls Live, I went toe to toe with several patrons defending the honor of Sandra as an all time great.
Yes.
I have this theory that we meet a lot of reality contestants in real life, and based on your interaction and a 5-minute conversation with someone, you can tell, is this person actually good at what they do? And can you understand how they got where they did? I had one 10-minute conversation at a charity event with Sandra, and I thought to myself, oh, this all makes complete sense.
Yeah.
She has this really great presence about her. So I'm excited for 39 days of Sandra.
If she wins... I guess if she really represents, in season 39, will you change your Twitter name to Eric Diaz Stein?
Yes.
Or Sandra Diaz Stein?
Yes. I think, yes. Yes. Yes, I will.
Think about it.
No, I like it. I like where your head's at. You've had a lot of good ideas this afternoon. Thank you.
I got too carried away. All right. Eric, my man. All right. Until we talk again on Survivor, let me see. I don't know if I have our thing queued up to be able to tell us what's gonna happen. Can you set up what's gonna happen on Wednesday for the finale?
Well,
hold on, I'll have you take us out. Of course, Summer of Stein is powered by the power of the Rappus Podcast patrons. Find out more about everything we're doing and that very intense fan community of people that follow these shows over at robhaswebsite.com/patron. So Eric, let's set up what we might see in the big finale. This Wednesday, when Nick walks out of that house, he's in for a world of pain when all of the Bella stands come and smack him over the head with a frying pan.
Jackson, he's going to use the lawnmower. He's going to use the plow. He's going to manscape himself for the big finale night, where he's going to get hit in the face with confetti, with watermelons, with Gallagher's mallet, probably by Holly, possibly by Ovi. So many fans are going to hate this man, but he'll be doing the whole thing with $500,000 in his pocket, whether we like it or not. Is he the biggest, is he the biggest villain to ever win a season of Big Brother or Survivor?
The problem is that he's not a villain who embraces it. He's sort of like a villain who is going to be upset if people don't call him the hero. So those are really the worst villains, where the Dr. Wills, you root for the person, the villain who owns being a villain. But it's not rootable, the villain who thinks that they're the hero of the story.
The disingenuous, the fake tears. This is he really took the Paul BB 19 trajectory, minus the cults, but definitely all of the flaws in why he was less popular that time around. I could only imagine if he played a second time.
Yeah. Okay. Can I try mine again? I feel like I don't want to go out like that.
Go back to the well.
All right. Ovi came to the house with a recipe for cookies, but the one recipe that he forgot is the recipe for fried slop balls, which is a recipe you never forget.
Now I'm panicked. Hey, Julie, I'm Jack. The PR team told me that I have to be nice here for the finale because my image is ruined. So I've been spending time with Sam, and I'm going to send it before the wife to Nick Macaroni. And Tommy, I got... Rewind.
You want it again, or to end the show?
No. Well, I need the music again. Okay, I wasn't ready that time. All right. We both got to nail it.
All right. Now I don't have one.
No, yeah. You got maybe a Christie, maybe a before the wife.
Okay. All right. This Sunday night, JC is coming back to the Big Brother house, and he's going to be feeding everybody a recipe they never expected. Fried slop balls. Get nice and fat, my sweeties.
I actually don't have another one. I'm like, something to do with birds, manifesting, something to do with the fact that Kemi had no idea who I was last Thursday. I got nothing. Gotta end it. The summer's over. The summer's time's over.
End it! Yeah.
Goodbye.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loathing, there's a pounding in my weirdly shaped head. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already, wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not fine, but it's a summer style.